Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
See you later.
Okay.
The Hour of the Time may be contacted at HOTT, that's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, at 12:01... on the morning of November the 4th, 1952, a new federal agency was born. Unlike such other bureaucratic births, however, this one arrived in silence. No news coverage, no congressional debate, no press announcement, not even the whisper of a rumor, nor could any mention of the new organization be found in the government organization manual of the Federal Register or the congressional record. Equally invisible were the new agency's director, its numerous buildings, and its 10,000 employees. 11 days earlier, on October 24th, President Harry S. Truman scratched his signature on the bottom of a 7-page presidential memorandum addressed to Secretary of State Gene G. Acheson and Secretary of Defense Robert A. Lovett. Classified, top secret, and stamped with a code word that was itself classified, the order directed the establishment of an agency to be known as the National Security Agency. It was the birth certificate for America's newest and most secret agency, so secret, in fact, that only a handful in the government would be permitted to even know of its existence. That passage, ladies and gentlemen, was taken from James Bamford's The Puzzle Palace, published in 1982. Don't go away. I'm going to read you President Harry S. Truman's October the 24th, 1952, charter of the National Security Agency, verbatim. And you only get these things here on the Hour of the Time.
I've been watching you for ages. like a boat without a mast, struggling with the tide of destiny between the future and the past.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is dated. This is dated October 24th, 1952, and it is entitled "A Memorandum for the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense, Subject: Communications Intelligence Activities." It is classified top secret. The copy that I hold in my hand was designated copy D-321, and it says, "The communications intelligence comment activities of the United States are a national responsibility. They must be so organized and managed as to exploit to the maximum the available resources and all participating departments and agencies, and to satisfy the legitimate intelligence requirements of all such departments and agencies. I therefore designate the Secretaries of State and Defense as a special committee of the National Security Council for comment, which committee shall, with the assistance of the Director of Central Intelligence, establish policies governing comment activities and keep me advised of such policies through the Executive Secretary of the National Security Council. I further designate the Department of Defense as executive agent of the government for the production of comment information. I direct this special committee to prepare and issue directives which shall include the provisions set forth below and such other provisions as the special committee may determine to be necessary. A directive to the United States Communication Intelligence Board, known as USCIB. This directive will replace the National Security Council Intelligence Directive No. 9 and shall prescribe USCIB's new composition, responsibilities, and procedures in the comment fields. This directive shall include the following provisions. A. USCIB shall be reconstituted as a body acting for and under the special committee and shall operate in accordance with the provisions of the new directive. Only those departments or agencies represented in USCIB are authorized to engage in comment activities. B. The board shall be composed of the following members. 1. The Director of Central Intelligence, who shall be the chairman of the board. 2. A representative of the Secretary of State. 3. A representative of the Secretary of Defense. 4. A representative of the Director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. 5. The Director of the National Security Agency. 6. A representative of the Department of the Army. 7. A representative of the Department of the Navy. 8. A representative of the Department of the Air Force. 9. A representative of the Central Intelligence Agency. C. The board shall have a staff headed by an executive secretary who shall be appointed by the chairman with the approval of the majority of the board. D. It shall be the duty of the board to advise and make recommendations to the Secretary of Defense in accordance with the following procedure with respect to any matter relating to communications intelligence which falls within the jurisdiction of the Director of the National Security Agency. 1. The board shall reach its decision by majority vote. Each member of the board shall have one vote, except the representatives of the Secretary of State and of the Central Intelligence Agency, who shall each have two votes. The Director of Central Intelligence, as chairman, will have no vote. In the event that the board votes and reaches a decision, any dissenting member of the board may appeal from such a decision within 7 days of the special committee. In the event that the board votes but fails to reach a decision, any member of the board may appeal within 7 days to the special committee. In either event, the special committee shall review the matter, and its determination thereon shall be final. Appeals by the Director of the National Security Agency and or the representatives of the military departments shall only be filed with the approval of the Secretary of Defense. 2. If any matter is voted on by the board, but A. no decision is reached and any member files an appeal, B. a decision is reached in which the representative of the Secretary of Defense does not concur and files an appeal, no action shall be taken with respect to the subject until the appeal is decided, provided that if the Secretary of Defense determines, after consultation with the Secretary of State, that the subject matter presents a problem of an emergency nature and requires immediate action, his decision shall govern, pending the result of the appeal. In such an emergency situation, the appeal may be taken directly to the President. 3. Recommendations of the board adopted in accordance with the foregoing procedures shall be binding on the Secretary of Defense, except on matters which have been voted on by the board. The Director of National Security Agency shall discharge his responsibilities in accordance with his own judgment, subject to the direction of the Secretary of Defense. 4. The Director of the National Security Agency shall make such reports and furnish such information from time to time to the board, either orally or in writing, as the board may request, and shall bring to the attention of the board, either in such reports or otherwise, any major policies or programs in advance of their adoption by him. E. It shall also be the duty of the board, as to matters not falling within the jurisdiction of the National Security Agency, 1. To coordinate the communications intelligence activities among all departments and agencies authorized by the President to participate therein. 2. To initiate, to formulate policies concerning and subject to the provision of NSCID No. 5 to supervise all arrangements with foreign governments in the field of communications intelligence. And 3. To consider and make recommendations concerning policies relating to communications intelligence of common interest to the departments and agencies, including security standards and practices, and for this purpose, to investigate and study the standards and practices of such departments and agencies in utilizing and protecting COMINT information. Any recommendation of the board with respect to the matters described in paragraph E above shall be binding on all departments or agencies of the government if it is adopted by the unanimous vote of the members of the board. Recommendations approved by the majority, but not all of the members of the board, shall be transmitted by it to the special committee for such action as the special committee may see fit to take. The board will meet monthly or oftener at the call of the chairman or any member and shall determine its own procedures. A directive to the Secretary of Defense. This directive shall include the following provisions. A. Subject to the specific provisions of this directive, the Secretary of Defense may delegate in whole of in part authority over the Director of National Security Agency within his department as he sees fit. B. The COMINT mission of the National Security Agency, NSA, shall be to provide an effective, unified organization and control of the communications intelligence activities of the United States conducted against foreign governments to provide for integrated operational policies and procedures pertaining thereto. As used in this directive, the terms communications intelligence, or COMINT, spelled COMINT, shall be construed to mean all procedures and methods used in the interception of communications other than foreign press and propaganda broadcasts, and the obtaining of information from such communications by other than intended recipients, but shall exclude censorship and the production and dissemination of finished intelligence. The National Security Agency shall be administered by a director designated by the Secretary of Defense after consultation with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who shall serve for a minimum term of 4 years, and who shall be eligible for reappointment. The director shall be a career commissioned officer of the armed services on active or reactivated status, and shall enjoy at least 3-star rank during the period of his incumbency. D. Under the Secretary of Defense, and in accordance with approved policies of USCIB, the Director of NSA shall be responsible for accomplishing the mission of NSA. For this purpose, all COMINT collection and production resources of the United States are placed under his operational and technical control. When action by the chiefs of the operating agencies of the services or civilian departments or agencies is required, the director shall normally issue instructions pertaining to COMINT operations through them. However, due to the unique technical character of COMINT operations, the director is authorized to issue direct to any operating elements under his operational control, task assignments, and pertinent instructions which are within the capacity of such elements to accomplish. He shall also have direct access to and direct communication with any elements of the service or civilian COMINT agencies on any other matters of operational and technical control as may be necessary, and he is authorized to obtain such information and intelligence material from them as he may require. All instruction issued by the director under the authority provided in this paragraph shall be mandatory, subject only to appeal to the Secretary of Defense by the Chief of Service or head of civilian department of agency concerned. E. Specific responsibilities of the director of the National Security Agency include the following. 1. Formulating necessary operational plans and policies for the conduct of the United States COMINT activities. 2. Conducting COMINT activities, including research and development, as required to meet the needs of the department and agencies which are authorized to receive the products of COMINT. 3. Determining and submitting to appropriate authorities requirements for logistics support for the conduct of COMINT activities together with specific recommendations as to what each of the responsible departments and agencies of the government should supply. 4. Within NASA's field of authorized operations, prescribing requisite security regulations covering operating practices, including the transmission, handling, and distribution of COMET material within and among the COMET elements under his operations or technical control, and exercising the necessary monitoring and supervisory control, including inspections, if necessary, to ensure compliance with the regulations. 5. Subject to the authorities granted the Director Central Intelligence under NSCID No. 5, conducting all liaison on COMET matters with foreign governmental communications intelligence agencies. F. To the extent he deems feasible and in consonance with the aims of maximum overall efficiency, economy, and effectiveness, the Director shall centralize or consolidate the performance of COMET functions for which he is responsible. It is recognized that in certain circumstances, elements of the armed forces and other agencies being served will require close COMET support. Where necessary for this close support, direct operational control of specified COMET facilities and resources will be delegated by the director. During such periods, and for such tasks as are determined by him, to military commanders, or to the chiefs of other agencies supported. G. The director shall exercise such administrative control over COMET activities as he deems necessary to the effective performance of his mission. Otherwise, administrative control of personnel and facilities will remain with the departments and agencies providing them. H. The director shall make provision for participation by representatives of each of the departments and agencies eligible to receive COMET products in those offices of the National Security Agency where priorities of intercept and processing are finally planned. I. The director shall have a civilian deputy whose primary responsibility shall be to ensure the mobilization and effective employment of the best available human and scientific resources in the field of cryptographic research and development. J. Nothing in this directive shall contravene the responsibilities of the individual departments and agencies for the final evaluation of COMET information, its synthesis with information from other sources, and the dissemination of finished intelligence to users. And finally, 3. The special nature of COMET activities requires that they be treated in all respects as being outside the framework of other or general intelligence activities. Order, directives, policies, or recommendations of any authority of the executive branch relating to the collection, production, security, handling, dissemination, or utilization of intelligence and our classified material shall not be applicable to COMET activities unless specifically so stated and issued by competent departmental of agency authority represented on the board. Other National Security Council intelligence directive to the Director of Central Intelligence and related implementing directives issued by the Director of Central Intelligence shall be construed as non-applicable to COMET activities unless the National Security Council has made its directive specifically applicable to COMET. Signed, Harry S. Truman. President.
It's only human to perspire. Everybody does. Smart people know that no one is safe from B.O. That's why they use Lifebuoy in their daily bath. It gives all over head-to-toe protection, and it's lasting protection. Remember, Lifebuoy is the only soap that's specially made to stop B.O.
Well, folks, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by, you guessed it, Swiss America Trading down in Phoenix. Spent the weekend with Frank, talking and chatting and visiting and eating and just all around having a good time. If you, ladies and gentlemen, are concerned about your future, specifically if you are concerned about the economy, let me sort of give you a little clue into what is happening now. If you go to the post office today and purchase a money order, unlike just a few weeks ago, the postal money order will say that it is good only within the continental limits of the United States of America. If you wish to send money outside of the country by a postal money order, you must purchase an international postal money order, something that we never had to do previously. They are getting ready to issue new money. The target date is somewhere around the 1st of March, but could be as early as the middle of February. It was originally targeted to be implemented this month in January. They say that there's not going to be a recall of the old money, but they are already telling merchants across the country not to accept the old $100 bills once the new ones have been introduced. So they're forcing, ladies and gentlemen, a complete recall of the old money simply by making it impossible for you to spend it. And I knew that this was what they were going to do. In fact, I believe that I warned you that no, they wouldn't issue a recall, ladies and gentlemen. They would just make sure that every old $100 bill that was turned in would be replaced with a new one, and you would never see the old ones again, and merchants would cease accepting the old money. And that's exactly what's happening. They are telling the merchants that there are so many counterfeit $100 bills of the money that we are currently using, which will become the old money in a very short period of time, that they should not accept any more of the old money once the new bills are introduced. Now, at the current time, all they have printed are $150 bills. As soon as those are introduced into the economy, you will see the old $150 bills quickly disappear. And if you attempt to spend one, the merchant, the restaurant, will not accept it. Oh, I imagine maybe a few will, but most will not. They're being told by the banks, by the Federal Reserve System, and by the federal government, and by the Secret Service not to accept the bills. So very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, the old money will disappear and be replaced by the new. There's not going to be a long period of time for making the exchange, as they wish you to believe. A very prominent New York magazine just revealed that the United States has been sending hundreds of millions, and yes, even billions of $100 bills to Russia on special planes every month. Now, what does that tell you? I advise you to call Swiss America Trading. I advise you to do it now because we all tend to procrastinate. I advise you to get your hands on some real money. I advise you to study what real money is. I advise you strongly to look back into the history of the world at what has happened to paper monetary systems, which are not monetary at all, by the way. None have ever survived or proved successful. While you're looking back into history, look at what was successful. In every case, in every instance, they were metal coins, usually gold and silver. Look at what happened when economies collapsed. Look at what happened when paper systems inflated beyond the control to keep up with the amount of inflation, so that a customer would go to the meat market and see the price of a cut of meat and not have enough money and have to go home and get more. And by the time they came back, the price was up again beyond what they had brought back to pay for the meat. You think this a ridiculous statement? It actually happened in Germany. It is the truth. In fact, at various times throughout history, it has happened to every paper system that has existed, but it has never happened to real money, which is gold and silver coin. So if you'd like to protect yourself against the possibility, which I'm telling you now, I believe to be an absolute certainty of an economic collapse in the near future, ladies and gentlemen, call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Tell them that you're a steady listener to William Cooper in the Hour of the Time, and you'll get red carpet treatment. I guarantee it. Ask them for a copy of the newsletter, and then discuss how you might be able to get your hands on some real money.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties? For wheat is the best food of man. They're crispy and crunchy the whole year through. The kiddies never tire of them, and neither will you. So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land.
Well, I know some of you out there have heard those old I think they're a lot of fun, don't you? They're not only a lot of fun, but they remind us of the way things used to be. And don't get me wrong, folks. Things have never been perfect in the history of the world. But I can guarantee you, it wasn't long ago that they were a lot better than they are now. And unless we're successful in turning things around and making a difference, it can only get worse. Now, we don't want that to happen, do we? So that means we have to become involved. I'm going to tell you right now, you can forget about national politics. It doesn't even matter if you had a chance to elect the president, which you don't, unless you're going to vote for Clinton. It really doesn't, ladies and gentlemen. And all of you out there who are looking to Forbes to save you, a flat tax, ladies and gentlemen, is unconstitutional, illegal, and unlawful. The federal government hasn't the authority to levy a tax on anything outside of the realm of interstate commerce. And that's a fact. You see, they could slap a sales tax or a flat tax upon a Ford sold out of the state of Michigan. But they could not levy that tax upon any Ford sold within the state of Michigan. They cannot do what they did before. The income tax is unconstitutional, illegal, and unlawful. If you read Veritas, you know the story about that. We did an extensive investigation and exposed them. As a result, they have stopped all random income tax audits. And in an attempt to plug the leaks and the holes that our investigation found, out of which we pulled stacks and reams and volumes of information, they began an investigation of their own historian. The federal government has no authority to levy a direct tax upon the citizens of the states, only the citizens of the United States, within the boundaries of the Federal District of Columbia, known as Washington, D.C., the territories, or upon the property which has been deeded and ceded to the federal government by the states, and that does not mean national parks, which were never ceded and deeded to the federal government by any of the states. So Forbes is scamming you. And what's he want to start off with? A 17% flat tax? I think that's what I heard him say. Above a certain income limit. Ladies and gentlemen, it might start off that way, but if you look at the history of governments and taxation, within a few years, the flat tax would be 50 or 60%, and you all know it. So why are you sitting out there fooling yourselves with this nonsense? Concentrate your political efforts on the local level. City, county, state. Put good people in there who believe in the principles and ideals upon which this nation was founded, who believe in truth, who believe in individual liberties and freedoms, and yes, the two are different, ladies and gentlemen, distinctly different. Look up the definitions. And who will protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America, which protects and defends our individual liberties, freedoms, and rights. If we are successful at doing that, then we can turn back the federal government. We can roll back this tide of socialist totalitarian control that is sweeping across this country. We can take the black ninja uniforms away from the police and again instill in them the desire to protect and serve instead of stomp and mutilate and seize and kill. We can do all of these things. But you must become active. And to ensure that the people maintain their power, which only comes, ladies and gentlemen, from the barrel of a gun. A disarmed people have no power. We must never consent or agree or allow ourselves to be forced to give up our right to keep and bear arms under any circumstances whatsoever. And that must mean you must be responsible in that regard. You must own a weapon. You must learn how to use that weapon and field strip it and clean it and take care of it. And you must teach your children to respect weapons and not touch them, and when they can be used and when they cannot. And you must either join a militia or form one of your own. Without doing these things, nothing else that you do will make any difference whatsoever. And I believe that you all know that way down deep in your hearts. We must support the United States government. We must support the governments of our individual states. We must protect and defend against all enemies, foreign or domestic, the Constitution for the United States of America and the constitutions for our individual states. That does not mean that we have to support the illegal, unlawful, and unconstitutional activities of those who hold office in these state and federal governments. Indeed, we must oppose them with all means at our disposal, understanding that the use of arms is always a last resort with reasonable and responsible people. We must never, under any circumstances, fire the first shot or allow anyone else to fire the first shot. For whoever does that loses the war. long before any battles will be fought, if any are ever fought. And if we are successful in our efforts, none ever need be fought and no blood ever need be spilled on our fair land. But long before any consideration of any battle ever comes along, a great war is being fought that is a war of information and of truth and of propaganda and of lies and deception and manipulation. You must align yourself on the side of this war, this information war, on the side of truth and honesty. You must expose at every opportunity every lie, every deception, every manipulation. And you must not be kind in doing this. You must be upfront. You must call a spade a spade. You must call a liar a liar. You must call a criminal a criminal. You must call a traitor in your publications, with your mouth, at meetings, and when you vote. And if we are successful, which I believe that we can be, to the extent that we can have a great impact and a great say in the future of this nation and of the world. But don't ever delude yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing is ever going to be as it ever was before. The world marches on. Things change. New technologies emerge. We learn how to get along with each other and live beside each other better than we ever have before. And we will learn to do it even better in the future. Change is resisted. People are fearful of what they do not understand or what they cannot predict. I talk to an awful lot of people every day who honestly believe that through their efforts, they're going to make things again exactly as it was in 1789 or 1776 or 1602 or 1854. And I'm telling you right now, you are living in a fantasy world that cannot, will not materialize. You will not be successful in those efforts in a million years. Too many things have changed. Technology has brought us out of the days when that was possible. We must, at all costs, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how much it hurts or disturbs us, deal with reality and not fantasy. We must strive to reach and perfect ourselves, our institutions, our governments, our organizations, our workplaces, our schools, understanding that ideals are the goal. But ideals are seldom, if ever, actually ...100% realized. And the basic stumbling block is human nature. Human nature, look into your heart and whatever you see in your heart that is flawed in yourself, you will find in others also. But always to a greater or lesser extent, but always there, always, 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 we are tempted, we are greedy, we are selfish. We are not always fair. In many instances, we are the greatest hypocrites that you can imagine, professing one thing and doing exactly the opposite. And you see it every day, and you do it every day, and I do it every day, and governments do it every day, organizations do it. Don't ever make the mistake of expecting others to be perfect when you are not. Reality. If we can deal with reality, and if we can do the things that I've outlined on this broadcast tonight and on other broadcasts in the past, we can be successful, ladies and gentlemen, and we can make a good future. But it requires all of us working toward that goal. No one can sit back and allow others to do the work that you should be doing, because that will bring us failure. If you care, you must become involved. The time, ladies and gentlemen, has arrived when every single person upon the face of this earth must make a choice. We can go backwards in the evolution of the human race, again into a state of slavery owned by the state, which becomes more important than the individuals. Or we can march forward into a greater freedom than we've ever known, with more responsibility than we've ever known. Look at what's happening in this country. We already have the most prisons of any other nation in the world. We have the highest rate of incarceration in those prisons per capita than any other nation in the world. Most people are in prison for victimless bullshit crimes for which they should not have ever even been bothered. The statistics of this non-crime are used to scare the vast herds of sheeple out there in this country into giving up their rights for the promise of security against crime. I hope you understand what I just said. It's one of the most important lessons that you can ever learn. The war on crime has nothing to do with crime. It is a war upon the Bill of Rights. The war upon drugs has nothing to do with drugs. It is a war upon the Bill of Rights. Are you trying to tell me that a nation that can go to Panama and take the executive head of the government of a sovereign nation state and throw him in prison cannot stop drugs from coming into this country? Close your eyes, ladies and gentlemen, for a moment, and on the back of your eyelids, imagine a great map of the United States. And everywhere that there is a city or a town or a little village in this great country, put a little dot on that map on the back of your eyelids. Lean back, close your eyes, and go through this little drill with me. If you have done it correctly, you should see more dots on that map than you're able to count, at least for quite some time. In every single one of those towns, cities, villages, hamlets, townships, whatever you wish to call them, anyone can get any drug in any amount that they want that drug at any time that they want it, day or night. Now, are you going to tell me that some Colombian drug lord with a high school education is responsible for the importation into the United States and the vast network of distribution and the vast network of security and protection that that type of operation would entail? If you do, I'm going to tell you right now you belong in a mental institution. Those drugs are being brought into this country and are being protected and are being distributed on a massive scale by people within the United States government itself. Now let me clear your mind on this. It is not our government that is our enemy. It never has been. It is people within the government who are subverting this nation in order to bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government under the United Nations that are at fault. You see, our government is the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, and I can guarantee you that that document has never brought one single load of drugs into this country or distributed them anywhere. People have done it. That document is our government. Bill Clinton is not the government. Bob Dole is not the government. Newt Gingrich is not the government. Congress is not the government. The government is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It is the supreme law of the land. Those within the bureaucracy of the government and those who have been elected to positions are actively engaged in bringing about a synthesis of all the nations in the world under the United Nations. We have documented this. We have proven it. It is not hidden. It is not a secret conspiracy. It is all out in the open, and anybody who can do even a small iota of research in a good library will soon discover that this is absolutely true. The United Nations was created by the United States. Most of the people who were involved in the creation of the United Nations and its charter were later proven to be communists, and many were jailed. Harry Truman was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. He pushed through the United Nations Participation Act and signed the United Nations Treaty and Charter. Article 43 was never ratified by the United Nations or the United States. The Soviet Union and the United States both vetoed that article, which means that we have no authority, and it's unconstitutional anyway, even if they had ratified it, to send any of our military personnel to fight under a UN flag, under a UN commander, anywhere on this earth. Harry Truman stated emphatically that the policy of the United States was to establish a world government under the United Nations. This is fully documented. It has been the stated policy of the United States government ever since, although it is not usually admitted, and you have to dig to find it. It is all there. State Department Publication 7277 outlined the plan under the Disarmament Treaty to reduce the size of our armed forces, which has been done and is in the latter stages of reduction and disarmament, and of the Soviet Union and of all the other nations in the world. And the eventual combining of the military forces of the United States and Russia into a world police force under the United Nations, which is at the present time in the latter stages of what the document describes as stage two. The plan calls for, ladies and gentlemen, the eventual total and complete disarmament of all nation states and all peoples upon the face of this earth except for the peacekeeping forces of the United Nations and small police forces within the nations of the world, which will then become vassal states of the United Nations in order to keep internal order. I urge you to become active. I urge you to become educated. I urge you to get off of your butts and do something. And again, don't misunderstand me, ladies and gentlemen. I am not against a world body in which disputes can be mediated between nations and situations can be diffused if it's done properly. I'm not even against an eventual world government if it's done properly. What tells me that this is not right and that I cannot participate in it, and most Americans cannot participate in it, is being brought about by lies, deception, and manipulation. The concept of disarming the people of the United States is absolutely repulsive. The Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership have documented in history that every time any peoples have been disarmed, they have been enslaved, and a segment of the population has been subjected to genocide. And it has not always been Jews, ladies and gentlemen. A recent example is Cambodia. Another recent example is what you know as Bosnia. Throughout history has been a troubled spot called the Balkans. I hope that I've left you with something to think about. I hope that it will keep you awake tonight. And I hope you will make the decision that is required. And I hope to see you in the front lines of this information war. And if it becomes a shooting war, in the front lines of that shooting war with me. Because I will be in the very forefront always. You can be assured of that. Good night. And God bless each and every single one of you.
When you cast your eyes upon the skyline, the beach, what a proud nation you should feel. And the hatred growing in the heart of the population. And our youth, oh you, are being seduced by the greedy hands of politics. The gasoline fumes and hypnotized by the satellites into believing what is good.
The hour of the time may be contacted at HOT, that's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.